Welcome to another episode of United Voices, the podcast where we bring you stories of impact, connection, and community building across Waterloo Region. My name is Michaela Jenkins-Moss, and I am a part of the United Voices Waterloo Region team. Today, my colleague Jill Laurie is joined by Chris Prosser, Executive Director of the Literacy Group of Waterloo Region. They talk about the power of literacy, the barriers many people face, and the incredible work being done right here in our community, as well as the impact that a volunteer can have on completely changing the trajectory of someone's life. Let's get into this great episode.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us on United Voices today. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
As we just get started, how about a little background for people who don't know about the Literacy Group, what you do, and who you serve?
So the Literacy Group of Waterloo Region is our full title, and we've been in the region for over 25 years. So we amalgamated from the various different adult literacy providers in town. There was about four or five. In 1999, we became one. And even though from 25 years, our goal was always to work with adults who wanted to learn how to read, we still continue to do that. However, we've kind of expanded to be working with adults who have literacy, numeracy, digital literacy, employment skill goals as well. So our goal is to support every adult in the region who wants to improve their literacy, numeracy, digital skills, and to give them the confidence and provide accessible programs in order for them to do that. So we're very proud to have been doing that for 25 years.
Amazing. Have you been involved for 25 years, or how long have you been part of the Literacy Group?
No. So 2013, I came.
Okay.
And TLG is the first job I ever got when I first landed as a permanent resident. So this place has very much been part of my adult life as I've been living in Canada. So if anybody ever has the privilege to be working in a nonprofit, it is something that grabs hold of you. And one of the best things about this job is you can see from where someone starts to where they end and the changes and the improvements in their life. It's what makes coming in very easy.
Amazing. Well, we're so lucky that you landed in the region. And I ask that because I just associate the Literacy Group with you, because the way you advocate for and engage with our community is incredible.
Yeah, it's been a real pleasure. Hopefully I can continue.
Well, and I can also relate to the idea of it's hard to get out once you're in, because there's nothing more meaningful than this work when you're able to help people. And I think with what you do, you can really see the progress from bringing someone in as a learner to having them land rewarding employment and then being able to contribute and give back for themselves. So that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's about the individual stories that we do this. And it's such a pleasure to be working in a network of people. When someone comes to us and they're looking to improve their literacy skills, and we can provide them with that step up. We often say that the biggest step to improving your skills is the front door step, because it takes a lot for an adult to say, I've got grade 3 levels worth of math. You know, I need to do this. I can't use my cell phone. I can't read the newspaper. I need help. So it's a tough thing to admit to, and to find the time and to maneuver in your life. And we've got adults who are, you know, working full time, two jobs, families, and they're jumping online and meeting with their tutor in the evening to learn foundational literacy. So it's really a privilege to be amongst people who are working so hard to make a difference in their own lives.
Wonderful. We get to experience that a little bit through your stories and being able to support your work. So I'm glad to tell the story today. I'd love to dig in and ask a very specific question about how adult literacy and skills gaps affect not just individuals, but families, communities, and then specifically here in Waterloo Region.
Yes, we're very proud to be working with other literacy providers in the region, that's school boards and the college, but also with programs that support young parents and literacy with young people as well. Because, you know, poor literacy is like poverty, is very generational. I mean, if you're like me, you had the privilege to be brought up around literacy, the passion for reading, the importance of reading. So having access to the digital, the written and the numerical word very early is incredibly important. It's vital for a child's development. Mm-hmm. And we know this from reading to kids and whatnot. For an adult whose passion, dare I say, or certainly confidence and skill level isn't there, it is very obviously going to be passed on to the next generation. So you see that generational trap of poor literacy. And it can be easily broken with an adult who's willing to make that change and engage and get the skills to engage with the written word. So we're really proud to be able to support young parents and parents, but also we've got some grandparents as well who life has thrown a curveball and they're living back with their kids and their grandkids. So we've got a number of grandparents who have come back to us and said, yeah, I've got to get a job to support my kid and her daughter and her son and his family and stuff. So we're seeing, real lives that are happening in the region within families coming to us. We've also got people who've come to us from other countries. They're improving their literacy and it's helping them pass their citizenship, or it's helping them fill in paperwork to sponsor their relatives, their partners, and sons and daughters from their country. We have a student called Garth who's been working with us for many years, and he was supporting his sons in Jamaica. And because of his literacy skills, he was able to support himself and bring his sons over to finish their education. So it's the butterfly effect. We talk about how making one small difference really makes that change throughout families. And we're seeing a lot more goals for employment. Almost 70% of our learners have come in with employment goals. And the return, the feedback that we're getting from our learners after they've left our programs are really positive in seeing how their skills that they gained with us has supported them finding employment in the region. So it's a pleasure to see those changes, but also to hear the stories about how changes that have happened to one person is affecting in a positive way parts of their family and members in the community.
That's so inspiring. And I am just thinking the references you made to the reading to children. I'm imagining as a child starts learning how they first kind of pretend that they can read, and
Yeah.
how as a parent, you can only pretend so far until you're passing it on. Or I've heard you talk, as you're saying, employment goals to be able to fill out a job application
Yes.
or get a resume together. It's really difficult to continue that kind of pretending that you understand.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a lot of focus on giving them skills to get employment. And as much as we have that as a goal for our learners, we respect that goal to get employment. But we also, we see a lot of people who just want to improve their confidence, right? They just want to be more involved in their community or get informed more. So a lot of parents do come to us to learn to read, improve their skills so that they can read the letters that are coming home from school, or they can broaden their information and make more informed decisions. So, whether vaccinations are the right thing for them, or if they're making their right choice about voting or where to live in the world. So, those kind of things, again, supporting the family, and again, are key if you can improve your literacy skills.
Yeah. And one of the things I pulled from your website is this idea of learner-centered and personalized programming that you
Yeah.
offer. Can you share a bit about how you meet people where they are and adapt to their goals and needs?
Yeah. We don't have a set curriculum such as they would have had in school. When they're coming to us, they're often coming up to us because they have a goal. And as part of that intake process that we work with them, we have those conversations. We create that SMART goal. We look at sort of what they want to achieve, the short term and their long term goals. We work with them in an assessment. We don't use the word test, it's a four letter word. Especially when we say, yeah, the first meeting with us, you have to take a test. And that's not going to happen. So, but we do, we reflect on what they've learned in the past. We reflect on their skills, what they enjoy doing. We are always very respectful that these are adults coming to us. They're adults who've had more learned experience. They've made more mistakes and they've learned more and they're stronger for it because they've adapted around having poor literacy, numeracy, or digital skills. And we respect that and we create their learner plan based on the experiences they come to and the passions they have. And it engages them better and they're more susceptible to learning if they're reading something such as beekeeping or a magazine about cars or something that they can relate to.
Yeah, that sounds like the base of a good pedagogy is keep their interest
Exactly.
in
Yeah.
something they're interested in.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked a fair bit about literacy in the words and reading the paper. I know that some of your work also expands beyond just words, and you include digital literacy and workplace skills in some of your training. Can you tell us a bit about that?
So digital literacy, we do have set programs, sort of foundational and advanced programs, and that works with a certain software that we have that will go through everything from the hardware to Windows to Office, using the internet, et cetera, et cetera. But we also embed digital literacy in other parts, in numeracy programs, in employment programs, and literacy programs, because we feel that accessing digital resources are going to develop those skills and allow for more success if the learners or when the learners leave us. So they're that continued learning piece. So digital literacy is part of everyday use, but being able to provide the learner with a refurbished laptop or a refurbished desktop, allowing their learners to bring their hardware into us so that we can show them or, support them with the resources that they have. And a couple of times, we've as staff members, we've gone with the student back to their house and seen their layout with their router and see what's going on in here and that. So it is great to be a smaller non-for-profit where we can support learners at that level, making the difference with one person. But when we do have learners, like I said, that more than 70% with that employment goal path, and we know that having a basic understanding of digital literacy is required in the workplace. So we make sure all learners have that embedded use of digital literacy to support them in their future goals.
Now, you reference a smaller nonprofit. How big is your team?
So we've got 9 staff. So in scale of things, with 2 sites, Kitchener and Cambridge, and we do run remote programs. So in terms of scale for other literacy providers, we're on the medium scale, but we are the only place in town, other than the school board programs, who work with functionally illiterates who are around a grade 8, although we don't use grades. We are the only place in town that provides this service. So as you can imagine, we're quite busy.
I can because I don't have the stat top of mind, but maybe you would. I remember when one of your colleagues came in and gave us a training, she shared a statistic about how much of the Canadian population
All
actually
right.
isn't able to read.
It's 48% of Canadians are below the levels necessary to be successful, to meet the demands of an adult life in Canada.
48%?
48%, yeah. So,
Wow.
but that includes literacy, digital literacy, and numeracy as well.
Yeah.
So, 1 in 4 in our region are struggling with levels of functional literacy. And like I said, it's a hidden disability, and it's something that has got such an effect. It really is a core issue for some of our biggest challenges in our region, or in the public, we don't see gaining any ground on. So as part of what we do, and thanks to United Way and our partners, is to be able to put ourselves at that table and say, have we tried literacy? Have we looked at the skills that are needed? Because it's a big part of the wraparound services that are needed to support one person who's dealing with a major issue that we see in our region.
Well, and I'm also just thinking we really need more than 9 people working.
Right. We have a strong army of volunteers as well. So one-to-one shooters, group assistance, volunteering has taken a hit since the pandemic, with the demand going up and the challenges of finding enough volunteers going up as well. We're very, very grateful for everybody we've got working alongside us, and we're managing to make it work, but we're always looking for more volunteers, right?
Yeah, I'd love to talk a bit more about how does someone come into volunteering for your program?
I mean, the nature of our business is to educate, of course, but we don't have, I think I could probably count the number of teachers we actually have volunteering for us on one hand. But we've got a range from teachers, we've got retired bank clerks, I think we've got an ex-pilot in our midst, but we've also got some students who were once students with us. They've come back to volunteer. Got a lot of young people are coming to us who are also working in their first job or in the universities and colleges, and they're supporting for us. And we provide all the training that's required. So we provide that adult specific training. And we also provide both in-person and online opportunities. And it's really an opportunity time where this volunteer can't pick which student they work with, but we make sure it's a good match in terms of their passions and what they share with the learner. And it's not something, right, you're just going to be thrown into a room with a learner and go, off you go. We support them with the resources, the learner plan, the training, and they meet each other and see if it's a good match as well. So all along, it's a comfortable process for both.
One of the big pieces we always are trying to incorporate into all of our work at United Way is equity. And I know that's a really important piece just based on this conversation, but also based on what I saw on your website about your approach to equity and partnering with other organizations.
The best thing about, like I've said, the best thing about in the community and working with United Way is that we see a learner who comes through our door often has sadly more than one problem. And that they've often been referred to us because they've been working with another partner. And the fact that United Way will take $1 donated and stretch it to support a food bank, to support the literacy group, to support mental health programs. And that one learner who came through our door is getting the full benefit of that stretch dollar by receiving all of those programs. So they're getting that wraparound referral. And if at any point in time one of those programs drop out or lost funding or anything like that, then that student is going to have a big chunk of supports taken. And that will most likely mean that they will drop out of literacy group, or they will not support themselves by eating healthily anymore. It's a very fine balancing act. And that part of funding that United Way is so vital, and the way you disperse the funds and distribute them and keep us connected as partners, really does ensure that that one person is going to thrive, not just survive and reach their goals, and then eventually say goodbye to the services and not need us anymore. But in terms of as a whole country there, even if we look at raising literacy levels in our country and community by 1%, we're looking at a 3% increase in GDP. So it really is an investment in one's community when you look at the core literacy and numeracy skills that are needed, and to support from that bottom upwards. You can see the value in the homeless community and in addiction community, because often things like that is a confidence level and it's access to important information, right? It's if we can be providing emergency services, therapeutic services, and skills upgrading at the same time, which United Way does, then that gives that person who's living with homelessness more of a chance to pull themselves out of that situation and be better for it. So there's a lot to be said about how literacy isn't at many tables as we can. We're a small organization. We try and be there at the city level and the council level to have our say. So we're always looking for opportunities about, well, you know, how can literacy and skills upgrading be a part of these bigger plans?
I think that's a really great point because just given the numbers you're sharing, it almost feels like it's a hidden part of all of these other more visual challenges that people in our community are facing. I'm still stuck on the number of 48% of people are not at the level of being able to function equitably within our community because they don't have access. And that just speaks so much to what a real challenge this is. Have you seen the needle move at all in your time with the literacy group?
Yeah, it kind of moves right back again sometimes. But an average profile of our learner is that they're, you know, early 30s and they have been unemployed for 6 or more years and they're living in poverty. And they're female. 70% of our learners are female. So when you think about how we've got and the average age of our learners being 30, which is the working age, not having the skills or the ability to find stable and keep employment, you've really got to think, wow, this, you know, the community is almost in trouble, really. If we've got our, you know, peak workforce at the age of 30, not being employed and not doing that, what can we do about that? Often people think literacy is people older whose digital literacy don't know how to use their computer, and they might be seniors, or they're young people just out of high school. But no, they're not. They're working age adult who need that support to improve their world and the world around them. So yeah, that it is a challenge. It's something that we continue to try and communicate for. And like I said, we're always very grateful for the voice that we have through United Way to talk about how this is a concern and get it out there. And we're very grateful when we see funders that you work with show more interest, and we get the chance to go and talk to them and raise awareness there. And it's really a connection that we have through you with those corporate partners to get tutors, to get more interest, to get headway in that world. And we've actually had a couple of students who have been hired by companies who I've gone to speak with as part of your campaign. So it's great that that connection is working.
Well, that's wonderful feedback. Well, I totally agree with what you're saying about how critical this is at a community level. But even thinking about that average learner, a 30-year-old woman, I feel so optimistic for her chances to grow and improve given the programming you're offering and become confident, because it's got to be so limiting to not be able to communicate and access the resources to uplevel your opportunities. So I'm just so grateful for this conversation and for what you're doing, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to partner with United Way. So thank you for this opportunity.
Is there any final message that you'd like to share to leave our listeners with about the importance of literacy and lifelong learning?
Only just to, take a minute when you're listening to this about what it took to access this podcast. Reading, following a link, having a computer, the time you've got to listen to this. Just think about all the things that you were able to do to access this podcast when you're listening to it. And think about that 48%. Think about that 1 in 4 adults. And just consider that, there are people out there who don't have the skills that you have, and they're working hard out there to improve their lives. And if you ever have an opportunity to learn more about us, to meet those students, or to consider helping us in any way you can, we're not going anywhere.
I really hope not, and I will continue to advocate and support on my behalf and United Way's. Now, I'm going to include in our show notes the links to your website, but just as a final follow-up question, how can people get involved and support the literacy group, whether as learners, volunteers, or donors?
So followers, really, social media, we really appreciate the follow, the like. We have a number of opportunities, so the literacy group, and then click on volunteer, and you'll see we've got about 7 or 8 opportunities to help in whatever way you can. And donations to United Way. Like I said, United Way's funding model is one of the best I've seen and to work for as well. So thinking about donating to United Way, and of course, be considerate on the lookout for friends, neighbors. There is more than likely someone on your street who is somewhat struggling with the digital or numerical world. And just be aware of that. And when if the opportunity ever comes up, just make a quick referral, let them know that this program's out there and it's for free.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate your time and everything you're doing for our community.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for another incredible episode of United Voices. A special thank you to Chris Prosser for making the time and being such a community champion, always ready to support our events and initiatives. To learn more about the Literacy Group or get involved, whether as a learner, volunteer, or donor, visit theliteracygroup.com. Be sure to subscribe and join us next time for more inspiring conversations from across our region. United is the way we strengthen our community and lift each other up.